Jeff here. Thanks for listening. Go to playvolutionhq.com/ccbag or click the link in the show notes for the show's archives, ways to connect, ways to support the show, information about happy hour, and more. Johnson coming to you from upstairs studio in the snuggery along the Gulf of Mexico. With me, in the wilds of Florida, Lisa Murphy. How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
I'm good. It's a beautiful day. Beautiful day.
That sounded a little bit forced.
Well, you know, the other thing that's happened lately is when I get older, I don't bounce back as quick as I used to from the West Coast to the East Coast coming home trips. And this last one coming home from Vancouver, we were 2 hours delayed leaving Vancouver because the plane upon landing ran into some birds. So they had to, you know, the high tech hose came out and they spent 2 hours hosing out the, I guess, remnants of the birds so we could actually leave. So, of course, you know, then that means that I missed my connection. And then I had to spend 7 hours wandering around Denver waiting for the red eye to come home. So I just don't think my clock is caught up.
Every time I talk to you, it makes me more happy that I decided not to travel as much.
I will admit, I thought of you. I was like, for the listeners, I want to say this because I know I've really been talking up the podcast and, letting people know that I'm excited to be back, and two, wrangling up some new listeners. For the record, and I mean this with 100% sincerity, although being on the road can often be a hassle, the reason I'm on the road having those conversations and going to conferences 100% is still worth every freaking delay that I experience. And I'm not just saying that to make nice. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And I'm excited to be back with my friend and colleague, Jeff Johnson.
Well, that's all warm and fuzzy. Now let's talk about some shit. Okay. Lisa Murphy, I messaged you the other day. I wanted to talk about the Vygotsky idea of the more knowledgeable other. Now he's really known. I mean, ZPD, zone of proximal development, and quote unquote scaffolding, which I don't think he ever used. He didn't call it that, but other people called it
that's
that.
How it's been interpreted.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what he's more known for. But he also had this idea of the more knowledgeable other, which is. Just a source of somebody with more or better more information or better understanding or greater ability that we learn from. And I had a more knowledgeable other experience a couple of weeks ago that set me thinking about this a little bit more. The dishwasher was not doing the dishwashering thing.
Oh no.
It wasn't draining right. And then you open up the dishwasher in the morning and there's that icky dishwasher water on the bottom, and I'm like, but here at the snuggery, I sent an email, and then the fixer dude's supposed to come and fix it because, although I spent a lot of time enjoying doing that kind of thing, I got other things to do now, and I hear back from him that, I'll get there as soon as I can, but I got a lot of other stuff, more timely things to deal with. Tell me what's going on, and so I walked through it with him. And we did a little bit of troubleshooting, and he's like, okay, there is probably a little bit, the dishwasher for dishwasher unaware people, the dishwasher drains into a garbage disposal. And that's where the water goes through. And he's like, a couple of years ago, they had new garbage disposals installed. And I've noticed, and this guy's only been the maintenance guy here for 6 months, I've noticed that some of them installed that discharge hose wrong. It's supposed to go up and around, and they had it running down. And so at that connection where that hose connects to the garbage disposal, there might be a little buildup of grease because you put things in the dishwasher and there's a little bit, and then over time it gets built up there. And he's like, I'm like, okay. So he's like, when I get there, it'll be a quick fix. And so I'm like, okay, well, I grabbed my screwdriver. I unscrewed it. I stuck the screwdriver into the hose. I cleaned out a little bit of gunk, like he said there was probably going to be. I hooked it up again, and it was fixed. So I did the little bit of troubleshooting I could with the dishwasher before I sent that email, just because I like to think I can figure things out. I had no clue. But with his additional information, the fix was no problem. He got an email saying, hey, you don't have to come out. So he didn't have to rush through things. And I benefited from that knowledge, because the next time I notice the dishwasher isn't draining, I'll be able to fix it. But I also rerouted the drainage outlet so that it goes the way it's supposed to. So it's less likely that's ever going to happen again. So two benefits for the information I got from my more knowledgeable other. And I think that really relates to early learning, because kids are so fresh and new to the world, and there's so much to learn that they are constantly looking for more knowledgeable others to glean skills and abilities and knowledge from.
Yes. I was going to say, actually, your anecdote is 100% scaffolding and ZPD, because you were able to do it with that assistance. I mean, that is ZPD and scaffolding in a nutshell, right? You were able to do what needed to be done, stretch yourself out of what you were able to do by yourself. That's why I love that visual. Like, here's what I can do by myself, but this bigger expanded circle around my person, this is what I can do with that assistance. And I love that. I am not that good. I always have to, I'm waiting for a more knowledgeable other to come to my house this afternoon and assemble three pieces of furniture. And the reason why I need, you know what? Hold on. I'm thinking out loud. A more knowledgeable other is somebody who assists you in going into your ZPD, right? Is that how I would, because like, so to that degree, the person who shows up is not technically, he's more knowledgeable because he can do something I cannot do, but he's not necessarily assisting me in being able to stretch myself. Like, I reach out to more knowledgeable others when I know there is not, like, I'm not able to do it. Uh-huh. So does that still count? I wonder, like, I think
in the furniture situation, if you were going on YouTube or the company's website and looking at their video for how to put that furniture together and then doing it yourself, I think that would video be, or yes. that I think that would be a more knowledgeable bother. But I think having somebody else do the doing is just having somebody do the doing.
Outsourcing.
Yeah. Our housemate
100% does this all the time. When I first, you know, started really getting to know him, I'm like, dude, you know how to do everything. How did you learn how to do all of this? And he literally held up his phone and said, YouTube. He's like, I will watch the video on YouTube, and then I bring that knowledge here into the house. And I was like, well, God love you. Thank you. So he definitely is benefiting from that. And I like how on your handout that you have up on Playvolution HQ, I love how you do include the technology piece of it, right? That it doesn't, the more knowledgeable other doesn't necessarily need to be the adult. I have been a huge fan since day one about how it can be peer-to-peer, because I think that's really important for us working with children, that we as the adult, just because we're the biggest in the room, doesn't mean that we default into the more knowledgeable other persona. I like that it could come from a kid's peer.
Yeah. And even a younger peer, back in the family childcare days, Hunter got really mad at Maddie one day. He was 4 and she was 3 because she was writing his name. he knew it was his name because she told him that she was writing his name, and he got very angry because that's my name. And what are you doing with my name? And she's like, chill, I'll teach you. And she taught him how to write his name, because up until that moment, he didn't care. Here's this person that's younger than me who cares about writing my name. Maybe I am interested in that. And in 20 minutes, she taught him how to write his name, and then he knew how to write his name. And it makes me warm and tingly, because look, learning to write your name is no big fucking deal if you wait until you're ready to
care about it.
Write your name. And that might be when you're 3, and that might be when you're 14, I guess. We can turn down the pressure a little bit. So I do like the idea of technology as the more knowledgeable other. And look, I'm always looking for videos on how to do things and how to figure things out and do them more efficiently and those kind of things. And I think that's one of the beneficial ways early learning programs can make use of technology, not just plopping kids in front of the screens, but when they are curious about things or when they have questions about things, if you don't know the answer, you as the adult can go find a more knowledgeable other out there on the interwebs and learn how to do the thing and to gather the information, whether it's how to pound a nail into a hunk of wood or how to clear out the garbage disposal drain or whatever it is. There's all that kind of stuff out there. And go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I did that one time. I didn't realize it at the time, but I had put too much pasta down the drain. And so the garbage disposal wasn't coming on anymore. And I had just moved into the house. I did not want to call a plumber. And I'm like, you are a smart person, Lisa. You have a master's degree. You can figure this out. So I got on YouTube and I watched this man walk me through how to unscrew it was like the elbow. And then I put a bucket under it and all of this nasty pasta came out and I put it all back together. And dude, you would have thought that I had just graduated from like plumbing school. Like I thought I was like the cat's meow. Like, look at me. 1, I adulted. 2, I watched YouTube. 3, I fixed the sink. Woo, look at me. And I remember feeling like this really weird childlike sense of like look what I could do. Like, look, I felt so empowered. And now I that was the first, last and only time that I've done it, but you know, it was a small fix. I tried to fix stuff the other day and I had to actually break down and call a plumber because it just was not going to happen. I appreciate that we live in a world where you can get the help that you need, whether it is jumping online and being empowered to do it your own self. If you have that ability, I think that's exciting. I remember being on a hike one time with my niece and nephew who are now grown adults, and we weren't sure if a big shrub, a bush next to us, they thought it was poison ivy. And so we looked it up to see. So at that point, definitely 100% Google Image was our knowledgeable other. I think if you actually stop to think about it, all day, we're probably plugging into it to some degree. Like when I needed a substitute for a spice, I was like, oh my God, I don't have that spice. What is a substitute for that? Boom, get online and look and boom, there you know, right there. So now that I think about it, it's more than, I think in my brain, I was limiting it to, like you said, watching a video of like then an act of something, some kind of an act. I can't think of another word. I meant a word like that, but even just more knowledgeable information. Am I making sense to you?
Yeah. And that's one thing I thought we should touch on, because if you're going to make use of a more knowledgeable other, it needs to be a more knowledgeable other that's trustworthy. And I think that goes for us as adults, but also for children. Kids are going to learn more from the more knowledgeable other they feel comfortable with and trust than someone that they don't know and don't have a relationship with and they don't know. I mean, if you've gotten good information someplace before, it's more likely you're going to get good information from that source in the future. So I mean, that's one of the downfalls to some of the online stuff is, well, there's all kinds of valuable stuff There's also there's all kinds of bullshit.
Like, I was just thinking right now as you said that, you know, what if the dude that was walking me through how to fix my sink sent me down the dark path, right? And I then needed to call a plumber because he did not give me accurate information. So I think there is that leap of faith, right? That I'm choosing to put myself in your hands right now. And I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt that you are not taking advantage of me.
So does that go back to ZPD, where there's that zone? You the information you're getting can't be so far outside your zone that you can't trust it at all.
Exactly.
So when you're figuring out
your ability ability.
Yeah, sure. So, so the potato, when you had the broken light bulb.
Oh yes. And I think about that constantly.
So we're at Lisa's and we're going out to dinner. We're probably going to a bar. And we're leaving. She's got a light bulb broken off in a socket. And I'm like, get me a potato. And you just stick the potato into the broken remains of the light bulb there, and it grips onto it. And then you can unscrew the bit there and then put a fresh light bulb in, and it works a very, very high percentage of the time. And so now Lisa, next time she goes crazy and starts throwing lamps around and ends up with a broken light bulb, she knows how to fix it, because I was a source that for that thing, she could trust me for that. So that
I learned from one of my nail technicians 100 years ago. She went to go open the bottle of nail polish and it was stuck. She grabbed a rubber band and she wrapped it around and then gave her enough of a grip to open that up. Let me tell you how many times I have used that hack. So many times. And even at a gig, like, I'll see somebody like struggling with like opening, I don't know, their soda cap. I'm like, give it to me. Cause I bring rubber bands with me now, cause you never know. And I loop it on the top and I gripped it. And she's like, oh, you know, and it's like, oh my God. It's like, we're also master's degree level people in the room. And we're like awed by this technology of a rubber band, and it saved the day.
Yeah. And so
life hacks. I mean, the people who teach you that stuff along the way, right? Not because they want to be acknowledged, not because they want a pat on the back, but they're sharing with you their little life hacks along the way that now have stretched my ZPD to a bigger level, a larger level.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, being able to take advantage of that, you got to let a little bit of ego go as adults. I don't know for kids. I don't know if they're as up in their egos as we adults are, but look, I would have been really happy if my attempts at troubleshooting the dishwasher problem would have worked. Mm. And I had to check my ego to say, hey dude, I need you to take care of this, because that makes me a failure at dishwashering. So I don't think it's a big thing, but I think in a lot of situations, I mean, look, in this profession, trusting somebody and being able to say, hey, I'm not sure the way this classroom is running is the way maybe we could do better. That takes a little bit of ego release to say that and say, I'm going to look for more information. I'm going to look for more ideas, because we like to think we're the more knowledgeable other on all topics a lot of the times, and being able to let go of that and look for other sources is kind of a challenging thing to do sometimes, huh? Or is that just me?
No,
maybe it's just a dude thing.
While you were thinking, I had a thought, and I was trying to figure out how to say it without using too many words. If you've reached the point, just specifically to the example you said, like if this classroom, if there's behaviors here or something, like this could maybe be run a little bit better, I think that's automatically a statement of the ego stepping back a little bit, because I don't even think you'd be allowed to admit that.
And, yeah, just thinking it is right? the first step.
Just thinking it is a step, definitely. And I would say that you could have co-teachers in the room, and one person thinks business as usual and everything's hunky-dory, and the other one is like, I don't know, I think maybe it's time for us to reach out. That person is going to be more inclined, right? What's that statement? When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Whereas somebody could have given them some input or advice on either management or room arrangement or whatever, and a week ago, neither one of them would have been able or ready to receive it. But now, simply by acknowledging that it's something might need some tweaking, that person is going to be more receptive to input scaffolding that might be given. But the same advice a week ago in the very same room with the very same scenarios, they're just not ready to see yet. So
yeah.
I think that's important, that even that little bit of acknowledgement, not even identifying what the issues are, but like, something's not right. Boom. That is the immediate entry point for a mentor, for some scaffolding, for a more knowledgeable other.
Yeah. Yeah. I was also thinking that the knowledge you get from a trusted, more knowledgeable other, it can be really, really tiny things that make a big difference.
Oh, a rubber band.
Well, yeah, the rubber band. I got to get back to the gym. So my bench press, I was watching some videos from and reading some things on a site I've decided I could trust, and I widened my grip by a finger width.
Ah.
And it got better. Because they went through, look, when gravity always wants to go down, right? And straight down. And to counteract that gravity, it's good to have your arms when you're doing a bench press with your arms perpendicular to the ground. And so if they're at an angle, you're putting more force on your shoulders and your elbows than you need to, and you're not doing that as efficiently as possible with the moment arms that are created, the leverage. And so just widening the grip, a half inch on each side, put my arms in a better position that I was able to push just a time. It made pushing the weight just a little bit easier. And that over the next 10 years is going to make a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's something I wouldn't have figured out if I hadn't went looking for that information from a more knowledgeable other. So just tiny little things, the rubber band on the nail bottle, the width of your grip on the bench press, those kind of things can make a big difference in your life. And so being on the lookout for that more knowledgeable other that you can trust for whatever kind of information you're looking at is pretty valuable, I think.
I think so.
So the other thing that's kind of related to this is direct instruction, right? Because what my maintenance guy did was, it was really direct instruction. Okay, you do this and you do this and you do this.
And direct and okay, so I think a vocabulary breakdown here. There's nothing inherently wrong with the concept and the notion of direct instruction. I am always curious as to the intention behind it. You were open to said direct instruction because sure. You needed it, wanted it, right? Which is very different than it's mandatory Tuesday, how to fix and troubleshoot your dishwasher day, and all residents of the snuggery need to participate. Like, that's different. Like, I don't want to be there. I'm not going to be receiving the information, and this is a waste of my time because at this moment it is not of value to me. Now, maybe a month from now, I wish I had paid attention. But I think it really does come back to, like, Hunter was ready for direct instruction sure. on how to write his name, which is different than, you know, it's Monday and it's H week. So Hunter is going to sit here and write his H's until he vomits. Again, what's the yeah. spirit behind it?
So
it's not a bad word, right? It's not a naughty, it's like anything. There's you got to explore all of the angles before you just throw the baby out with the bathwater.
So I was out with the dogs this morning thinking about this episode. I'm going to talk to Lisa Murphy about this topic. And I was thinking about the direct instruction piece. And I've been trying to get my head around it for a couple of years about what's direct instruction that works. And it, what clicked for me this morning, and I started writing a blog post about it already, and I want to run it by you to see if it's worth pursuing, is I think there's an art to direct instruction, A-R-T, which the A is direct instruction should be active. The person doing the learning should be doing something. If you're learning how to use a hammer, you should have a hammer in your hand.
Yes.
So it should be active. It should be relevant. The R is relevant to the learner. If the learner has no fucks to give about the topic, the direct instruction is useless. If it's about how to write my name because I want to write my name, or how to get my nail polish open because I need to polish my nails, then it's relevant. And then finally, it should be timely. It should be taking place when that person needs it to. So if you, I mean, the nail polish thing is a good example. You're right there with a rubber band now when you see somebody struggling with that. That's timely direct instruction. So
I'm going to interrupt you because I want to add specifically to the everything else is like a given. It's a given. And I have the timeliness, though. There's a little nuance here that I want to talk about.
Okay.
That don't make it take longer than it needs to.
Sure.
Let me unpack that a little bit. How many times have we sat in on a workshop session where the core of their message was awesome, but instead of allowing it to be 20 minutes because that's all we needed in order to understand it, now let us start processing it. It's the same. They stretched it out. Like if it was you, it's done. We got it. Now let's go either a little bit deeper, or let us work out some of the more subtle nuances of your message here. You know, if it only takes one time for Hunter to figure out H-U-N-T-E-R, don't beat the dead horse. Like let it have a beginning and a middle and an end. And the flip side to that is that if the adult or the other thinks this should be a one and done quick, you know, let's go, let's get on with our day, and the child is showing you that there's interest, right? It's relevant and they're active, but it's taking a little bit longer, making sure that it's like, come on, it's a nail, hit it already. And they needed more time. So I think the timely piece has a few more layers there to unpack.
Yeah.
Think spot on.
I totally get that.
I love that, that's two things so far that you're already like, man, I milked the fifth DAP thing so hard in Vancouver. I'm referencing the last episode. And to that, right, direct instruction, sometimes the way you can tell that it was relevant information is that it was assimilated almost instantly.
Sure.
Like there was no learning curve. I didn't have to go remember it. Like it instantly was absorbed and made and became a part of my work. And I think that would be the same of any good kind of appropriate direct instruction. Well,
yeah. Making it short and sweet when you can do that, is a good idea, because your garbage disposal video, if that video would have been 45 minutes long and started with the history of the garbage disposal, the garbage disposal was invented in 1863 by.
Oh, I would have already swiped.
Yeah, exactly. And so, finding that source that can give you a short, sweet answers that have the information you need when you need it in a digestible format makes it a lot easier to do.
I'm remembering, it's funny, the memories that are bubbling up now that, you know, we've spent 30 minutes talking about something. I remember the very, very first time my laptop froze while I was on the road. And I had to call like Apple support and have them walk me through. Like I'd never like tech support, like one, let's like walk me through. And just kind of being at their mercy and hanging on to every word. But just like you said, I mean, very much active. I got my laptop, I got my phone, like I'm ready to go. Very relevant because I needed it.
Yeah,
obviously. And timely because the person on the other end was very direct, did not have extra language. Like it was like step one, step two. But then also was patient. Right. While I'm like, okay, hold on. I'm following. I'm getting there. I'm with you. And I had totally forgotten about that little memory, but that was 100% a more knowledgeable other.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, listeners, this here has been the Child Care Bar and Grill. We can't always claim to be your more knowledgeable other because
unless you need a potato or a rubber band, and then we got your back.
Yeah, if you need help opening your nail polish or getting a broken light bulb out of the socket, we can help you out with that. The rest of the stuff, we're just kind of plugging our way along, trying to figure things out as well. But we hope you get a good idea here now and again. This here has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast, the world's longest running and most prolific early learning podcast that hopes you're not having dishwasher problems. Have a good day. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Back soon.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.